You're listening to a Countout Podcast. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, and joining me, as always, is Zach the Milky Way Batista. Zach, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing actually quite good. I had a bomb-ass ice cream cake from Carvel's before I came up here to record.
Was it fudgy?
Yes.
It was fudgy?
Yes.
Fudgy the Whale! You know I lost the bet to our good friend Tom, and I have to get a Fudgy the Whale tattoo on my butt.
Really?
Yep. But I still haven't done it. That was 2 years ago, I think we made that bet.
Damn. What was, if I may ask, what was the bet?
I don't even remember. I think it wasn't even a bet. It was like, you ever play the game What Are the Odds?
Yeah.
It was that. It was What Are the Odds you get a Fudgy the Whale tattoo, and I said like 1 in 1,000 or something like that. I said something like ridiculous, and we still somehow like landed on the exact same number.
Oh my god.
I think I said 1 in 1,000, and then somebody counted down, and me and Tom both like said something like 7 or some shit like that.
Oh my god, I can see.
And I got so bad, so now I gotta get a Fudgy the Whale tattoo on my butt.
Well, at least when someone sees that, they'll be like, "Why do you have a what?" You know what?
Actually, I don't know if it's on my. I think it's just. I think the stipulation was just a Fudgy the Whale tattoo. I don't think a location was specified.
Well, regardless, I think it's just somewhere. It'll be a fun story to talk about.
Yeah. I still haven't gotten it, but I'll get there.
Sounds like a pretty interesting tattoo. I've seen much worse tattoo ideas on people.
What you think? What Fudgy the Whale isn't a good tattoo idea?
No, I think it's good. I'm saying that it's a good idea, and there are much worse things you could have tattooed on yourself.
That's true. I want to do something funny with it, though. I don't want it to just be like a portrait of Fudgy the Whale. I want it to be, like, something funny.
I'm just imagining, like, a fucking, like, water-painted portrait of Fudgy the Whale now on you somewhere.
it's like the painting from Ghostbusters where the guy's, like, looking really regal and, like, has yes! armor on, except instead of the guy's face, it's just Fudgy the Whale.
Yes, exactly!
Anyway, what a tangent we just went on.
I'm down. Fudgy the Whale is sick.
Fudgy the Whale is sick, and Fudgy the Whale is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
My friends brought me a Fudgy the Whale cake last year for my birthday as a reminder.
It's like, God, why?
To make sure that it's still in my brain that I have to do it. Anyways. Nice. Anyway.
Yeah.
We aren't here to talk about Fudgy the Whale. This isn't the Fudgy the Whale podcast.
Ooh, ideas Fudgy for the, Fudgy membership
the,
thing.
Fudgy the Whale cast.
Fudgy the Whale cast.
We talk about all the different versions of Fudgy the Whale and how if you just turn Fudgy the Whale sideways, it's their Santa cake.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No.
That to make their Santa cake, they just take all the leftover Fudgy the Whales and just, like, turn them sideways, and it's just, like, the tail is Santa's hat.
Well, shit.
Yeah.
My mind has been blown.
Yeah, literally, it's just, like, the same, it's the same exact mold, just turned sideways.
Huh.
For, like, their Santa cakes in December.
Fair enough.
It's very cost-effective, I guess.
Uh-huh, indeed it is.
It was a funny bit on Mystery Science, on a new version of Mystery Science Theater 3000 that got rebooted, like, years ago by now, but, there's a bit where they did that, and they were, like, if they had a clock, basically, and every section of the clock was just a different way to turn Fudgy the Whale to make it a different thing. And it was really funny.
I can imagine
they had like turned like they had like turned like diagonally and they made it like a cornucopia for Thanksgiving. It was a really good bit that I really liked.
Anyway, the whale, everyone.
Yeah, anyway, we're here to talk about wrestling. Who would have thought we'd go on a 5-minute Fudgy the Whale tangent?
Who would have thought it? Indeed.
But we are here to talk about wrestling. We are here because me and Zach have brought you back more matches from the indie scenes. We have come back from our weekly journey out into the independent seas to bring back matches that you should check out. And Zach, I think I got some good ones this week.
I got some good ones too.
Well, why don't you kick us off and tell us what you brought?
I brought Max the Impaler going against Hyann at Ring of Honor. And then nice. I brought Mysterious Q going against Moose at Reality of Wrestling pay-per-view. Reality of Wrestling versus Impact.
Ooh, very cool, very cool. What did you bring? I brought to the table this week, we got Savannah Summers taking on Mickey Fortune in a street fight from a promotion called Riot City Wrestling.
Ooh. And have we done that from there before, right?
We have done Riot City Wrestling before, yes.
It's been a minute, though.
Yeah. And my next match, I brought Matt Mikowski taking on Matthew Justice at Paradigm Pro Wrestling at their event called Paradigm Terminal Combat.
Nice.
And this is a Terminal Combat match, so we'll get to what that means later.
Dude, you just going all in on the fucking hardcore stipulations for October,
I think. Remember when I said before we started recording that I'm trying to get ready for the Hammerstein show?
Yes.
The Hammerstein Ball GCW's Hammerstein Ballroom show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going in on that GCW style of wrestling where it's like, who fucking cares? Bring out the tables, bring out the chairs. It's all fine.
I mean, fair enough. It's always fun when they bring out more weaponry to hurt each other with.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, who started off? And then, of course, we have our surprise match, which we will have to wait till later to figure out. And I won't put it in the description this time. So it'll really be a surprise. The only way to figure out this surprise is to listen to the episode or to follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Anyway, who started off last week?
You did.
All right, Zach, why don't you kick us off with your first match then?
All righty then. We're going to start with Max versus Hyann.
Okay.
For the TLDW for you guys out there, this is a good, solid wrestling match between these two. And I was overall very impressed with the evolution of Max's look, which already looked great the last time I saw them, which was, God, like third, fourth episode, I think, of this podcast, I did a Max the Impaler match. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I took away from it was, man, Max is a really cool look. They've now gone from a road warrior to a wasteland monster, and I love it. Additionally, they also do a really good job of being like a feral person because they don't really speak. They just grunt and just scream, and I love it.
Sounds about right. There was a Max the Impaler match I've been dying to see. It was from Enjoy Wrestling's Night Moves, which happened on October 8th. Will be debuting on YouTube the day after this podcast goes live.
Oh, man.
Not a promotion, but...
Hope I can find time to watch that.
Max the Impaler takes on MV Young for the Enjoy Wrestling Championship, and I really want to watch that match.
It's gotta be a good match.
I really want to watch that match.
And you will tomorrow. Hopefully.
On day of recording. Or on day of release, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Alright. So, let's start off this match with a classic Colin Ebel tie-up. But after Max throws Hyann off of them... They separate for a moment. Hyann tries to then knock Max down to the mat with a shoulder tackle twice. But the tackles just have no effect on them. And she just keeps bouncing off of Max over and over. And she kind of panics for a second. Turns and goes to run the ropes again. Because I guess in Hyann's mind, she's like, alright, if I hit them again, they can't just deflect it a third time. But this time, Max just grabs her by the hair and just yanks her to the mat. And blocks her in a waist lock. Hyann struggles and squirms in this hole until she finally takes Max to the mat with a drop toe hold, and then locks in a front face block, except like a bull, Max tries to use their strength to buck her off of them, but to no avail. And eventually, Max just clubs Hyann in the stomach, which knocks her off of her back into the ropes. They then body splash her before the two separate once more. Defiantly, though, Hyann goes back at Max, ducks a swipe from them, and then tries to snapmare Max. When that doesn't work, though, She yanks their face down and then mercilessly knees them in the face. Like, she kind of, like, has her, like, she's holding them kind of, like, in a side headlock. And she's like, okay, well, if that's not gonna work, I'm just gonna fucking kick you in the face.
Fair.
Womack does shove her off of them. Hyann immediately counters with a dropkick, which knocks him to the corner. Max, though, then counters her Irish whip with one of their own. And as Hyann goes to the corner, she jumps over what she thought would be Max. Like, she just, like, the back jump over, but she jumps over nothing because Max just stopped in their place and watched her do that.
Great.
And as she's like, wait, what the fuck? Max just clubs her over the back of the head with a fucking lariat. And then they just proceed to decimate her for a while. Just all over the ring, beat, grind her down. They're predominantly attacking Hyann's back during this. Hyann did a fantastic job, in my opinion, of selling this, by the way. Just in absolute pain. Not a fun time at all.
I would imagine.
Eventually, Max has Hyann in the corner, but Hyann gets her foot up and kicks Max in the face and gives her the opportunity to get to the bottom rope and jump onto Max's back and locks
it. Somebody in the face is a good strategy that never fails.
Never fails. Locks them in a sleeper hold and stubbornly refuses to let go. Max is forced to use a backpack stunner, which breaks the hold, right?
Nice.
Except then Hyann pulls a fucking Undertaker and just sits right back up and locks the hold back in. It was like some shit out of Shayna Baszler's playbook where I was like,
nope.
I was just like, I would be...
Not that yet.
Yeah, Max is just like, the fuck? So this time Max gets up and is like, okay, I'm not dealing with this shenanigan. And they just throw her over their shoulder to break the hold, so she's now in front of them. And the two separate, with Max then falling back into the corner and Hyann just laying on the bottom rope. Max charges at her, but Hyann counters that by drop toe holding her onto the middle rope and then just immediately kicking the rope into their throat. Feeling the momentum swing in her favor, Hyann hits them with a combination of strikes and a running splash, but she just cannot knock Max over. She's getting frustrated, so she goes for a fireman's carry, but she cannot lift Max up. So Max then lifts her onto their shoulders, though she does wiggle out of it and throws in the face first into the corner before hitting an absolutely filthy-looking knee to Max's face as they're just laying in the corner at this point.
Damn.
And yet that still isn't enough to put this monster away. So...
You know, I kind of expected that.
Hyann goes for an elevated double chicken wing, which is kind of like,
The chicken wing, just the name of that move will never fail to make me laugh.
And double chicken wing. It's basically Beth Phoenix's finisher, if you know what that is.
Yeah. The glam slam, right?
Yeah, yes. Oh my god, thank you for actually remembering that name, because I was sitting there, I was like, what was this name again?
Yeah.
So Max uses their strength to just break their arms free. Hyann then goes for a clothesline, but Max ducks it, and then drops her with the Uranagi into a backbreaker.
Nice.
They then lift Hyann back first onto their shoulders, and then jump in the air and drop her back first onto their shoulders as like her knees as their knees hit the ground.
Oofa doofa.
And it picks up the win for them.
Nice.
After the match, of course, Max has to abide by the code of honor, so they grab Hyann's unconscious hand and give her the most lackadaisical handshake I've ever seen.
The most I'm doing this because I have to thing ever.
Yep. One thing
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Pretty much, yeah. It was a very solid match. I really liked the character work between the two of these as well. Like, Max felt like a legitimate monster from the waist, and Hyann did a really good job of acting as the underdog, doing their best to overcome the odds, though granted it didn't work out in the end for her.
Bummer.
Yeah.
But hey, seems like a cool match. I'm into it. What's your rating on this one?
I'm gonna give it a meh.
Nice.
Didn't hit the high meh, but I'm impressed. Max certainly improved their craft from the last time I saw them wrestling. There were a lot less clunky. There were actually not really any clunky spots.
Oh, I mean, the last time we watched Max.
I know. So I came into this with like some kind of high hopes of like, all right, I really hope that like they improved because their look is fucking sick. Look them up. It's awesome.
Yeah. And like I said, hey, tomorrow night. 8 o'clock, I think, on their YouTube channel. Go check out Enjoy Wrestling. Max the Impaler taking on MV Young.
Nice. All right, Mikey. What's your first match?
My first match, we got Savannah Summers taking on Mickey Fortune from Riot City Wrestling in a street fight.
Oh, baby.
This match starts off directly as the bell rings. There is no love lost between these two. These two do not try to feel each other out and like get a feel for. They just immediately just start. They bell rings. They just start wailing on each other.
All right, I dig it.
These two again go right after each other as soon as the bell rings. These two just charge at each other and start beating the crap out of each other.
Uh-huh.
Immediately, Mickey hits a few forearms on Summers, takes her to the ground. Mickey runs out of the ring, starts going for weapons right out the gate. She goes for many weapons. She gets trash can lids. She gets chairs. She gets, I believe, a kendo stick, and she gets a skateboard.
Hold on, wait, what?
Oh, skateboard, and a table is the last one. But yeah, a skateboard, just like a regular skateboard, not like a Darby Allin skateboard where it has the tacks on the bottom, just like a skateboard.
Huh? I mean, I've seen odder things in street fights and such. So okay, I'm down.
I would say didn't we just have a fight where someone hit somebody else with like a plastic horse they got from under the ring?
A plastic horse that looked off and came off of a Ferris wheel. Yes, not a Ferris wheel, a carousel.
Ferris wheel.
Fucking Ferris. That would be.
So yeah, right out the gate. Mickey just gets a bunch of weapons. And nice. She's with all these weapons, she throws them in the ring, then she takes the table, she starts setting the table up on the outside. Uh-huh. While she's setting the table up on the outside, Summers comes from behind and attacks Mickey with a kendo stick.
Ooh.
Starts beating her down there while she's getting the table set up. And then she beats her all the way to the top of the stage.
Oh.
So they fight all the way to the entrance stage. Start fighting on the stage. Like, Summers, like, throws Mickey, like, off screen for a second, and she's, like, taunting to the crowd, like, yeah, I'm the best. Who wants to see her get hit with this kendo stick? And then she turns around into Mickey just, like, running into her with a chair.
Oh. I was expecting just a kick to the face, not a fucking chair, but no, all right.
Mickey just, like, runs in with a chair and just, like, hits her in the gut with it, and then just, like, bashes it over her back. She throws the chair, throws Summers down the stairs of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Summers is like woozy, like off the side of the like off the front of the stage. She's on the ground, and Mickey's still on the stage. Uh-huh. Then Mickey just runs off the stage and hits Summers with a crossbody.
All right,
from off of the stage, which is dope. So they fight towards the merch booth a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Fight toward the merch booth. Fight towards the crowd. Once they start getting towards the crowd, Summers, like, grabs Mickey by the hair, and she tells the crowd to move out of the way.
Uh-huh.
So the crowd, like, scatters and makes, like, a little opening, and she takes Mickey and just, like, hucks her into the seats.
Oh, my God.
There's, like, a whole row of chairs.
It's just, like, a whole, like, she's just in a pile of chairs now.
Yeah. And then they get back to, like, right next to the ring.
Uh-huh.
They make their way out of the crowd. Summers takes one of the chairs that was, like, in the crowd. She sets it up, puts mm-hmm. Mickey in it, and then backs up.
Uh-huh.
Takes a deep breath, runs at her, and hits a crossbody while she's in the chair.
Nice.
Yep. Summers grabs trash cans, throws them in the ring.
Uh-huh.
And while Summers is getting in the ring, while Summers is, like, throwing those in the ring, mm-hmm. Mickey comes around, takes Summers down, on her way back in the ring, throws her in the ring,
mm-hmm.
kicks her while she's down a little bit more. Then she takes the trash can, sets them up in either corner, both trash cans.
Ooh.
So she has one trash can, like, lodged in each corner, like, opposite from each other.
Gotcha.
And then she goes to, like, Irish whip Summers into the trash can,
mm-hmm.
but then Summers, like, turns around and reverses it, but then she stops, but then Mickey stops and turns around and tries to reverse it again. And these two just, like, neither of them can throw each other. And then at one point, Summers just, like, pulls Mickey in and, like, shoulder blocks her. And Mickey, like, stumbles into the trash can.
Ooh.
And she doesn't, like, fall into it hard. She just, like, stumbles into it and is like, oh, you know? And, mm-hmm. like, she's a little woozy. And while she's woozy,
oh, no.
Summers just, like, backs up and runs at her and hits a shotgun dropkick and just directly into the trash can.
Oh my God.
Sends Mickey flying into the trash can.
Jesus.
Just fucking wrecks her. It was awesome.
Sounds awesome.
Then, while Mickey's down, Summers goes to grab that table that was on the outside of the ring. She brings it into the table.
Yeah.
And while she's setting it up, while she's setting up this table, Mickey is back to her feet with the skateboard in hand and just smashes it over her back.
Oh.
Breaks the skateboard clean in half.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like she hit her, and then the skateboard was just broken. Just ridiculous.
Skateboard was like, nah.
Yep. Just one shot, it was over. Yeah, so she gets hit with the chair. This doesn't really knock her down, though. The two start fighting again. Summers is able to hit a codebreaker.
Nice.
On Mickey. And then, while Mickey's down, she goes to the outside of the ring again, goes under, grabs, like, a big street sign.
Okay.
Like one of those big diamond, like, you know, road work ahead signs.
Yeah.
Grabs one of those, lays it on top of Mickey, and then she goes to the top rope. But while she's going to the while she's on the top rope, Mickey just jumps to her feet with the sign in hand and goes, "Hoo!" and just wings it. Just wings it at Summers' head, and it just goes, boom! And just domes Summers with it.
Oh, my God.
So Summers is out on it, like, completely out on the top rope. She's, like, literally, she looks like she's passed out, but just sitting on the top rope.
Ah, okay.
So while she's out on the top rope, Mickey goes under the ring one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach, she grabs that famous little baggie.
Ah.
What's inside this drawstring baggie, you may ask? She opens it, turns it upside down, and look who it is, our friend the Thumbtacks.
Oh, classic. I thought it was the Legos.
I wish. Every time somebody turns that bag over, I'm wishing for either Legos or gummy bears.
Quick, gummy bears.
I saw gummy bears once. I think it was on this show. We watched a match where someone, instead of using thumbtacks, there was just gummy bears in the bag.
Was it like the Fans Bring the Rules match? That was,
The Fans Bring the Weapons match.
The Weapons match.
Maybe.
That was AR Fox against Romero, right?
I believe so, yeah. I think you're right.
Because that bag had, like, bottle caps in it and shit like that, too.
No, it was AR... Was it Romero, or was it...
Oh, wait, was
JT
it...
JT Dunn.
It might have been Dunn. I'll look it up. You continue the match. I'll look it up.
Anyway, so, Mickey gets the tacks out, spills them all over the ring while Summers is on the top rope. Mickey goes up to get Summers in a superplex position, but Summers is able to fight out of it, slide through Mickey's legs, and get her in a powerbomb position.
Uh-huh.
To which, she grabs Mickey and powerbombs her directly onto all the tacks.
Oh, God.
Absolutely brutal looking.
Goes
for the pin. Mickey kicks out.
Oh.
This one's not over yet. Summers picks Mickey up, puts her in like a Death Valley driver position, goes to slam her into the tacks one more time, but Mickey's able to fight out, grab a trash can lid, and just dome Summers over the top of the head with it. Mickey finally gets that table set up. Finally gets that table set up, puts Summer on it, takes the trash can lid, and just starts beating Summer's head in with the trash can lid.
Oh my
until
God.
She just stays on the table.
Well, shit.
Summer's out like a light on this table. Mickey heads up to that top rope. Mickey hits a frog splash, sends Summers through the table, goes for the pin, 1, 2, 3, and Mickey is able to win this match with a frog splash through the table.
Damn, bro, that's not brutal.
Yeah, Mickey Fortune taking down Savannah Summers. This match was great. It was short, it was sweet, it was violent, which is basically 3 check marks for matches Mikey loves. Short, sweet, to the point, and lots of violence. So yeah, I was in on this one. I'm gonna give it a high meh. I really enjoyed it. These two really just kicked the shit out of each other. And like I said, there was no bullshit, you know? It was like, there was no rest hold spots. There was no, like, them walking. There was no, like, the chain wrestling we always see of them trying to feel each other out. This one gets directly into the action. They immediately start fighting. It's back and forth the entire time, and these two just destroy each other.
Nice. By the way, it was Romero.
Ah, all right, cool. I knew we had an AR... We did have an AR Fox JT Dunn match, but I guess it was just a regular match.
I think so.
Anyway, that's my first match of the night. Zach, I believe we are on to your next one.
All right, let's do Q versus Moose.
All right.
I'll be real. I wanted this match because I wanted a Mysterious Q match, and I haven't seen a Moose match, like, in months, maybe even a year, and everyone was talking about how great
I thought you were into Impact.
My dad isn't Impact. Mm-hmm. So I hear about Moose, but I've not watched a Moose match in its entirety.
Gotcha.
So I was like, you know what? Fine. I'll watch a Moose match. It's a couple years ago, so it's not current Moose, who is jacked out of his mind. But I'll take a Moose match. And TLDW, this is a great match. These two did a really good job of meshing each other's styles together, and they added on to the overall story of the show, which I'll get into right now. So this match, well, this entire card is part of a reality of wrestling versus Impact show, where they're trying to get the show that competitors win the most matches wins.
Okay.
So at this point in the card, the score is 1-1 with Reality of Wrestling, I think, taking the tag team match and Impact taking the women's match. So these two are basically trying to, it's the rubber match between them before they get to the rest of the card. So they're trying to give their team the advantage. In this case, the heels seem to be the Impact, while the faces were Reality of Wrestling. Which is very apparent at the start of this match. These two go for a handshake, and Moose just brazenly flips Q off. I was just like, you asshole. The two then lock up, and Moose quickly takes control with a side headlock. Q then Irish whips him into the ropes, but instead, Moose then knocks to the mat with a shoulder tackle. He then runs the ropes, but this time Q is able to hit two huge arm drags on him. However, on the third one, Moose has gotten wise of this, blocks it, picks him up, and then hits a series of massive chops to Q's chest.
Third time was not the charm.
Nope. Too many times at the well, as I think it was JR with, or JR Tony, or maybe Excalibur would say. Someone would say.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So Moose then gloats, of course, because he's like, haha, I fucking got him. And then he goes to run the ropes, but Q cuts him off with a head scissors, only for Moose to kip up off the floor. And they just kind of stare each other down for a moment here, kind of like a, all right, I see how it is now. So Moose then charges at Q, and Q throws him into the ropes, jumps over him, rolls forward in order to jump up and drop kick him as he's running the ropes, which sends him to the outside. Moose then does the classic heel maneuver of spending as much time as he can on the outside, using the ref to ensure that there is no way Q is going to attack him when he gets into this ring. You know the class. You know it. Crowd's like, get in the ring. He's like, fuck off. It's my time. I can do what I want.
Yep. The usual. Yeah, it's like, listen, I'm the one wrestling here. Get out of my face.
You paid
to
watch
this. I'm
doing
this on my time. Yeah.
Finally, though, Moose eventually does get back into the ring. The two of them lock up, and Moose, of course, grabs at the eyes and mask of Q as he shoves him into the corner. He then picks up and delivers a decisive chop. He then picks Q up and delivers a decisive chop. But surprisingly, Q just fires back with a chop that's equally as strong. I was not expecting that out of Q, to be honest. I was expecting the play up Moose being the stronger of the two, but props to Q. Unsurprisingly, though, this only pisses Moose off. So he just punches Q in the face and then slams him face first into the corner. Because if you got a problem, folks, just punch it in the face. And then tries to throw Q into the ropes, but Q hangs on to
them. This message is not endorsed by Indie Waters. Do not punch your problems in the face.
True, true. Actually, though. So Q hangs onto the ropes after he's thrown into them, and then he drop toe holds Moose as he rushes to him, and then he uses the ropes to springboard crossbody Moose on the outside. He then throws Moose into the ring, goes through the ropes, and then Moose runs at him, pretends to slip, and as he is quote-unquote, slipping, he kicks the ropes right into Q's balls as he's just, like, flying. He's flopped on the ground. The ref's like, oh my god, are you okay? He's like, yeah, man, I think I slipped. While Q is just in a pile on the floor in the ring.
Oh no!
I actually really liked how innovative and hilarious this was. I've never seen a heel just pretend to slip and kick the ropes.
Oh no, I fell!
Oh god, wink. And the ref turns like, what the fuck happened to you? And Moose is like, no, you don't need to worry about that.
I like how I physically winked at you through the camera as if the audience could hear us.
I mean, I did air quotes, so.
I mean, you have to, it's like when we do things like this, we just have to audibly say air quotes or wink.
Winky wink, nudge nudge.
Anyway.
So, following this up, Moose hammers down on Q while he's down before throwing him into the corner so hard that not only does Q bounce off of it and fly into the middle of the ring, but Moose actually falls over onto the mat.
Damn.
It's peak of what I told you last week, where you Irish whip someone in a wrestling game, you do, throw it so hard that you just fall on the ground too.
Yep.
So then a particularly loud fan of Q starts to trash talk Moose, so Moose trash talks back at them because Moose is an asshole, before hitting massive chops on Q in the corner again. He then goes to the opposite corner, charges at Q, but Q flips over Moose and then sling blades him.
Woo, nice.
Q then sounds off with his own impactful chop, and then several heavy forearms to the face, finally getting some payback on Moose for all those strikes he's had to take throughout this match.
Mm-hmm.
Moose then goes for his discus lariat finisher called the Game Changer, but Q ducks underneath it and then hits him with a massive German suplex.
Nice.
As Moose recovers in a corner, Q hits him with a running, jumping back elbow. However, as he goes to run the ropes to follow this up, Moose cuts him off immediately with a European uppercut. And then just when you think Moose is in control, he goes to Irish whip Q. Q counters that with a handspring kick to the back of Moose's neck. Like, he handspring, bounces off the ropes, and smacks Moose back of his neck. Moose is down. He then lifts Moose onto his shoulders into a torture rack position to go for his signature move, the F-16. Or is his finisher? I couldn't find this, unfortunately. But Moose elbows his way out of that, throws him into the ropes, and then the two just collide into each other, but neither one drops. So Q runs at Moose again, and they hit each other. They collide again, except they hit each other so hard that the impact legit sounded like one of those real, like, you know, like a chop, like it's crisp. You could hear it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally like that sound when the two of them hit each other. They ran into each other that hard.
Oh, the best ones.
And neither of them fell either.
Damn.
I was like, fuck me. We're going in now, I guess. So Q then hulks up like right in Moose's face. So Moose just pokes him in the eye. I was just like, oh, Q, you summer, sweet summer child. Why would you do that?
It's like, don't even try it.
Yep. So Moose goes and runs the ropes, and then Q wipes him out with a lariat, lifts him up to that torture rack, and then hits him with the F-16, which is basically a Blue Thunder bomb from a torture rack position.
Damn.
And yet somehow Moose kicks out, which actually surprised me because I thought that was his finisher. I was like, well, shit. All right. I guess Moose is winning it. So Q then goes for his finisher, the Q cutter. But Moose has this scouted and blocks it. And with Q in his grasp, he ripcords Q, goes hit the Game Changer, but Q then super kicks the taste out of his mouth.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, like spit flying the whole nine yards.
Nice.
Immediately after, the Moose boots Q in the face, runs up the corner, and without stopping, like, he turns backwards to crossbody Q, and Q catches him mid-air and hits the Q cutter.
Damn.
One, two, Moose kicks out again.
What?
Actually got a wait, what the fuck reaction out of me, immediately followed by, this match is fucking awesome.
Nice.
From a state of absolute shock to getting dead serious, Q then takes off both his wrist tapes, goes after Moose, who's currently in the corner, but of course, as Q approaches him, Moose pulls the ref in front of him to shield him. So Q pulls the ref away, and deals with the ref, turns around, Moose goes for his spear finisher called No Jackhammer Needed. Fucking love so much.
I love any jab at Goldberg.
I read that, I'm like, that's amazing. But Q kicks him in the face, then Q goes near Moose, Moose picks him up, hangs him up over the top rope, and as Q is trying to get his air back, or trying to get his breath back, Moose cuts him in half with the No Jackhammer Needed for the win.
Nice.
This match is fucking awesome.
It would have been funny if Q kicked out and he did a jackhammer.
I swear to God, I would have fucking...
After the No Jackhammer Needed.
He just does your next to the camera after the fact.
Sounds awesome.
Honestly, I think I might... I'm going to give this match a mark out, but I know damn well that this match... probably will get a lot of high mess from people. But I really like this match. Like, I was emoting, and when you emote in a match, that's my sign of, like, oh, yeah, this is a fucking great match.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the best, when you, like, find yourself, like, popping off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, ah, there it is, that markout feeling.
That fucking cue cutter, man. I was just like, Jesus fucking Christ. And then he kicked out, and I was just like, what is my life?
What am I watching right now? This is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, dude, it was pure dopamine, wrestling dopamine.
Very, very nice. All right. Well, Now it is my turn to talk about Matt Mikowski taking on Matthew Justice. Zach, I think we've watched Matt Mikowski on this before. He was part of Bloodsport a lot.
Oh, well, then we've definitely seen Matt Mikowski on that alone.
Mm-hmm. So this match actually plays into both of these guys very well because it is from Paradigm Pro Wrestling, and it is a Paradigm Terminal Combat match, which means for the first 5 minutes of the match,
okay,
it's contested under basically normal wrestling rules, except a few things.
Okay.
The competitors are not allowed to leave the ring voluntarily.
Oh, okay.
There is a point system.
Okay.
And the matches can be won by knockout.
Huh. Okay. I like this already.
And then after that 5 minutes, it's time for terminal combat.
Oh my god, that sounds so sinister.
Which means no more points. Wrestlers can leave the ring. Weapons are encouraged.
Oh.
Not just allowed, but encouraged.
It went from, like, classic catch wrestling, like, you get knocked out, to full-on fucking hardcore, yeah, no, the rules are done, kill each other now.
So the first half of this match favors Matt Mikowski very much, because Matt Mikowski is a Bloodsport wrestler, so this is very much a UFC-style fight for the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
A lot of groundwork, a lot of, you know, working over your opponent.
The class.
Second half of this match, terminal combat part, if need be, of course, definitely favors Justice. Because Justice, we both know, we've seen him in GCW, we've seen Matthew Justice during Big Gay Brunch, we've seen Matthew Justice. It was some event at the Collective where he did some crazy bullshit. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Matthew Justice likes weapons.
Yeah.
Big hardcore wrestler.
Big.
So, this match was really cool because I really liked the terminal combat thing.
It's a cool
because it was basically, like I said, the rules are basically the same. It's like only open hand shots, you know, like no close fist punches, rope. Oh, also when terminal combat happens, no rope breaks. Rope breaks are gone.
Of course.
But in the beginning, it's like rope breaks, no open hand, no groin shots, right? It's like basic wrestling stuff. But then the point system was interesting. And the fact that they're not allowed to voluntarily leave the ring is interesting, too.
Mm.
Anyway, this match starts off. These two feel each other out for a while. A lot of chain wrestling, a lot of groundwork, you know. A lot of Matt Mikowski showing off how good he is. There's one point where the two are just kind of like jockeying for position for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mikowski's able to take Justice down with a big slam. And then he just starts like wearing, like just working his limbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is one point where Mikowski has a rear naked on Justice. And Justice has him up on his back.
Okay.
And they're like, Justice is like trying to get up, like going around the ring, trying to find a way out of this, right? Yeah. Then you see the clock start ticking down. It's like 5, 4, 3. And as the clock is ticking down for terminal combat, Justice just goes, F it. And just with both of them, runs towards the ropes.
Oh my god.
Both of them fly out.
Oh,
like, he just runs towards the ropes and just jumps out, basically. And they both just head over the top rope as terminal combat starts.
That's fucking awesome. That's some anime shit.
So they both fly out as the clock counts down to terminal combat. Then terminal combat hits, the alarm goes off, and then the crew from Paradigm Wrestling in the back start breaking out doors, tables, chairs, all kinds of fun weapons for Matthew Justice and Matt Mikowski to use.
Oh my.
After that, once the two get back to their feet, Justice is easily in control here because now Justice is in his territory, right?
It's in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, exactly. First thing Justice does, grabs a door.
Nice.
Grabs a door. He grabs a door and he puts it to the side for a second. Then he takes a trash can and he starts beating Mikowski down with the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
and while Bukowski is down, they're still on the outside of the ring, by the way, Justice grabs two of the chairs from the crowd, puts them facing each other, sets the door on the tables, and then he lays Bukowski on the tables, beats him down a little bit, then he slides back in the ring. The ring, by the way, isn't like a normal wrestling ring where it's like elevated.
Okay.
It's like really close. It's only maybe like a foot off the ground.
Huh.
Which what made that move where he like took, where he took Bukowski and just kind of like yeeted them both out of the ring.
Mm.
A little more viable.
Yeah, that. Yeah, makes sense.
You know. So anyway, like I said, the ring. Picture this with the ring like a foot off the ground, maybe.
Okay.
So he got this door set up on the two chairs. Puts Bukowski on the chairs, beats Bukowski down, so he stays on the chairs. And then Justice runs in the ring, bounces up the ropes, grabs the ropes, does an over the top rope senton to put Bukowski to land on Bukowski, but not break the door because, you know, I am the door, baby.
Oh my god,
door doesn't break.
Asshole door.
Door doesn't break. Justice throws Bukowski back in. Justice hits like a splash off the top rope after he throws Bukowski back in.
Okay.
Goes for the pin. Bukowski kicks out. Then he stands up and just like holds up his hand. Yeah. And when he holds up his hand, somebody from like off camera just like perfectly tosses him a kendo stick and he just catches it.
Oh, that's a one take if I've ever seen one.
He catches the kendo stick, and then he just starts beating Bukowski down with the kendo stick.
Oh, my God.
It was just so cool that he was just like, hey, kendo stick, and they were like, all right, and just,
so like, goes that's right like, into it. That's peak of like, did you get that on camera? It's like, yeah, I fucking did.
It's like, who was the guy who always threw beer to Stone Cold? Who always nailed it.
Spot on, like perfect tosses every fucking time.
He has a name and I can't remember what the fuck his name is, but it felt like a moment like that, you know, where it's just like the guy who never misses.
He just came out from retirement to just throw that kendo stick.
Yeah. Just toss Justice the kendo stick perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Justice is just beating Bukowski down for a while. He takes the door and he sets it up in the corner.
Yeah.
And then there was a really funny part where Justice takes the kendo stick again and starts beating Bukowski down. Okay. And he's beating Bukowski down so hard that the kendo stick, a piece of it breaks off.
Oh.
Flies behind Justice and just, like, sticks into the door.
What?
I don't know. Like, literally, that... like, the kendo stick broke, a piece of it shot out, and it went, like... It was like when you like, it's like when it just like sticks in, it's like sproing, and it just gets stuck, and it was just like sticking out of the door.
Were you sure this match is scripted at this rate? What the fuck?
It was wild.
You know, I say that, and then I sort of, I somehow forgot that the door didn't break just moments ago.
Yeah. It was wild. Anyway, so after that, after the kendo stick breaks.
Yeah.
Justice is like, I need something different. Goes outside, and then he grabs a half of a door.
Okay.
And he hits Bukowski with it a couple times. But okay. Bukowski just stands up.
Oh.
Justice hits him with the door. Oh. He, like, takes it, and then he goes to hit him again, and he just catches it.
Oh.
And Bukowski rips the door out of his hand and just starts beating the crap out of Justice. Just, you know, absolutely what? Laying into Justice with this door.
Fuck you, dude.
Yeah. So he lays into Justice with his door, completely just wrecks him. And then he goes to the corner. He puts his karate gi back on that he entered with. Because now it's getting serious.
Oh, shit.
There's one point where Justice tries to get Bukowski up for a DVD, but Bukowski's able to reverse it into a rear naked choke.
Okay.
And he's, once again, on Matthew Justice's back.
Uh-huh.
Justice is able to break free, gets him back in that Death Valley driver position.
Okay.
and he runs to the corner and rams, and with the DVD, just rams Mikowski through the door.
Ooh.
But fucking Matt Mikowski, after getting slammed through a door, immediately stands up, rushes back at Justice.
Oh my
puts him, puts him right back in that rear naked choke.
Jesus.
Takes him to the ground with the rear naked choke, then transitions the rear naked into a bow and arrow hold, and Matthew Justice taps out.
Bro, he's like the fucking Terminator. What the fuck?
Homie, he got put, literally Justice had him up, slams him through the door. Justice is like, yeah! And Mikowski's like, nope! Runs at him, gets him again, brings him down, and just locks him in a bow and arrow to win the match.
It's the Clive without a side of meatballs cop gift for the cops just sprinting in the background.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dude, it didn't stop him for a second. Like, literally, like, not even 3 seconds after Justice slams him through this door, Mikowski's back up.
Damn, that's ridiculous. Impressive shit. What the
ridiculous.
Fuck? Well, shit.
Anyway, but Matt Mikowski wins this match.
What are you giving this match, bro?
I'm giving this match a high Matt, very close to Markout. You know what? I'll give it to Markout. It was good. Hey. It was really, really good. I'll let it go over there. It was very good. It was super cool to see Matt Mikowski just, like, be a beast toward the end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where he takes a door shot and he's like, do it again, you know?
Just, do it again.
Just so he can catch it and beat the crap out of Justice. And then he goes through a door and then comes back like nothing happened. Like, whew. Both men got their chance to show off that they're just like monsters of humans.
I like
that. Right?
I just really like the match situation at this point.
Terminal Combat is like a really cool... I wish it was more than 5 minutes in the beginning. 5 minutes doesn't seem like that long to be like regular. I wish it was like 10 minutes of regular wrestling.
Ah, okay.
That's just so, you know, it feels like quick. Like, I get you want to just get to the hardcore stuff, but like, I don't know. You can just let like the cool catch wrestling settle. Yeah, like, if they're...
I would,
like, especially when you have Matt Mikowski in the ring, like a guy who's amazing at this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, fucking let him go. Like,
let this man go.
Yeah, let him be in his element for a little while longer, and then Matthew just will play fun games with toys, you know?
Like half a door.
Like half a door, or a kendo stick that breaks and gets lodged in the door, gets lodged in a full door.
Yep.
But yeah, this match was really cool.
Nice.
Very violent, beginning to end. I like the Terminal Combat stipulation. I think it really added a lot to the match.
Mm-hmm.
It really, like I said, it really let both guys show off what they're best at, and and since they both showed up with their best at, led to a sick match because both the guys got to shine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like. So, I really liked it, and I highly suggest you go watch it.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, so that is both of our matches out of the way this week, so why don't we take a look at the one we both watched, which is a surprise match for this week. Zach, why don't you tell the people what that match is, because you picked it. No, I picked it.
You did pick it.
I'm an idiot.
The fuck? Nani the fuck?
I picked for us two people I have never heard of before. In a promotion I have also never heard of before.
Same.
This match on YouTube has 47 views.
Small one.
And was uploaded, I believe, September 27th of this year.
I believe you're correct.
So this match is a very, very small, very unknown, very from the depths here. We went deep for this. I went deep for this one.
Yeah, you went deeper than I was expecting.
Yeah. We got Cosmo Orion, which is a great name.
Yes.
Taking on Johnny Law from Pro Wrestling Zen.
I love this name.
Yeah.
Just Zen.
Zen.
Followed by Pro Wrestling.
Zach, I was just spewing about Matt Mikowski and Matthew Justice, and my throat kind of hurts, so why don't you get us started on this conversation about Cosmo Orion and Johnny Law?
I thought this was an enjoyable match, and the payoff for it was not one that I was expecting, but I didn't mind it as much as I would have without it.
Mm-hmm.
So, the story going into this match was that Orion had just beat Marty Snow, who was like the big cheese at this promotion. He was undefeated. So, it was his first loss in PWZ, and now Orion's trying to extend that momentum against Johnny Law. Before this match even starts, though, after these two have made their entrances, Snow, of course, shows up. And he sits right on commentary because he's going to watch Orion wrestle.
Yes.
By the way, I love how Law's character was like, he's inspired by Judge Dredd and RoboCop, and then he's got, like, these super multicolored, like, pattern armbands, like a jigsaw puzzle.
He's got, like, the Jeff Hardy armbands.
Yeah, I'm just like, I just love that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so after this brief interruption, Law and Orion go at each other until Law presses Orion to the corner. The ref's like, gotta let him go. He's like, oh yeah, sure, and then he just slaps him in the face. The lockup again. He goes for the exact same cheap shot, same exact situation. Orion dodges it, gets out the corner.
Mm-hmm.
They go back and forth, exchanging some strikes, some holds, you know, arm drags, you know, the lucha shit that you would come to see.
What I really like from this match is that from the jump, it immediately foreshadows what the rest of the match is going to be like, right?
Yeah.
Like it was Johnny Law really just trying to overpower Cosmo, but Cosmo is like, nah, 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 I am the fast.
I am speed.
I am speed.
Yeah.
Ka-chow.
I could already hear Lightning McQueen saying that shit in my head. So, Law ends up on the outside, Law gets back to the ring, and I love this part, because he tries to take it easy, right? He's like, alright, let me ease my way into it, and Orion's like, nah, fuck you, and he just kicks him right in the fucking leg when he's not paying attention, just keeps kicking it.
Yeah.
I was like, this man is not a single fuck given to him. He's like, nah.
Nah. Nothing.
Now, however, while this is going on, and I'm only going to mention this because it is relevant to the match, you could hear the face commentator, Rich Vox, trying to ask Snow about how it feels to lose to Orion. And Snow is obviously pissed off at this. And
why wouldn't you be?
He's like, no, he didn't beat me. He had someone help him beat me. He didn't actually beat me. And he's just like, I made him this star. And he's like, but he beat you. And you could just hear, like, in his voice, he's just like, Snow's getting more annoyed as Rich keeps talking to him, but just keep that in mind as we're doing this, that he just is continuously poking and prodding the bear that is Snow.
Yeah.
So, back to the action in the ring. Law gets some offense in, thanks to his, of course, as Mikey said, size and strength.
Yep.
Orion just straight up outmaneuvers him here. He uses his speed, as again Mikey said, and gets several, like, just ka-chow. Unanswered but quick strikes. Ka-chow, ka-chow. However, Orion gets too full of himself, and he tries to shoulder tackle Law, and he just bounces back. So he tries to run at Law, ducks...
when he did that, I just heard, the sound effect was like, boing.
Exactly, like a cartoon. So he's like, alright, you know what? I got this. And he runs at Law, ducks a clothesline for him, hits a tornado DDT, and then he starts to target the right arm of Law, which just kicks over and over again, until Law finally catches him as he rebounds off the ropes and just slams into the mat with a scoop slam a la any of the Rhodes or Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
It's crisp. It's exactly what you want from that type of move.
Yes, sir.
So Law is finally back in control, and he just brutalizes Orion from corner to corner. Running strikes, standing strikes, he's just manhandling this man.
Yeah, dude. You're just really showing off how strong he is and how much, Orion is just, a doll to him. He can just chuck him around.
Yes. I was about to make a very bad Galaxy joke.
Please do.
I was gonna say that would make Law the planet and Orion the moon, where he's just in his gravitational rotation trying to deal with him.
Nailed it. Perfect. Perfect. That's... joke.
Thank
flawless
you.
Joke.
Thank you. Thank you. Bow bow. Thank you. Applause, applause. So eventually though, Orion tries to kick him, but Law catches his foot, turns Orion around, picks him up onto his shoulders, and then running power slams him. I remember thinking to myself, damn, he just told him to go fuck himself with that shit.
Yeah.
I've never seen someone just, take that counter. Usually, the face, does, an insecurity or, they, kick them off of them. Instead, he just, nope, flip around, get on my shoulders. You're going down again.
Yep. No, homie's just getting slammed again. It's fine.
Yep. Orion tries to strike his... Well, he does strike his way back to his feet. Hits Law with two brutal-sounding chops.
Can we just talk about how every single chop in this match sounded like a gunshot? Yeah, it wasn't even just from Orion. Law was even landing some crazy-sounding
chops.
These two were just, rocking each other.
Dude, by the end of this match, Law had taken off, his singlet, and, he just has two red palm marks on his chest.
Yeah, holy moly. These two are destroying each other.
They went ham. So, Orion tries to capitalize off these absolutely disgusting chops with a running strike, but Law not only catches him, but then power bombs him not once, but twice. Absolutely slaughters him.
Yep.
He then chokes Orion out on the ropes, and I love how the ref is, counting him, and after he gets off of him, he looks at the ref like, what? He's fine.
He's alright. Look at him.
He then gets
he slammed his head on the table and then he fell. And the ref is like, "What are you doing?" He was like, "I was just helping him up."
Yeah, it was after he threw him out of the ring. Like, he slammed him. He's like, "Oh, what? No, he fell. Come on."
I was helping him up.
He tries to get him doing. He's like, the ref's like, "Get him back." He's like, "All right." He throws him like the most lackadaisical Irish whip, but still throws him into the ring. He's like, "What? That's his fault. He should have gotten into the ring."
I love this.
Because I was just like sitting there, and I'm like, this man says he's Judge Dredd, which means he will bend the rules to get what he needs done, and I love this. But he's very much more comical about it. So he then, after he throws Orion into the apron, he lays him on top of the apron on the other side of the mat and gets payback by hitting two absolutely disgusting chops to Orion's chest. Now,
oh yeah,
toss Orion back into the ring, dominates him.
He's got ground beef looking chest after this one.
Oh yeah. Just dominates him in the ring while you can hear tensions on commentary just getting worse and worse, like to the point where I'm pretty sure Snow just stops responding to Rich. Because Rich is just like, "Come on, man, he beat you. What do you..." Like, Rich is like the annoying interviewer in WWE who keeps asking the question, but the heel can't leave because he's stuck on commentary. And so he just has to sit
there. So the heel just keeps trying not to answer it, but the question keeps getting brought up.
He's trying to be disrespectful about it, like, "Yeah, get all the whole fucking roster to help him, and he has to beat me." It's like, he survived me. He didn't beat me. And he's like, "But he pinned you." And he's just like, "I swear to God." It's like, "You need to learn your fucking place." Back in the ring, Orion is able to counter Law with an Irish whip from Law into a corner by running up the turnbuckle and hitting Law with a diving crossbody. Law gets up, and as he does this, Orion tries to go at him, but he catches him, hoists him onto his shoulders, ribside first, and locks in a very unique looking submission hold where he's got Orion, like, ribside down on his shoulders, and he's grabbing his head and his legs, and he's just kind of pressing his abdomen into his head. I've never seen a wrestler do this before, Mikey, and I don't know what this submission hold is named, if it has a name.
I don't know either.
It's like the torture rack, but inverted somehow.
After
a little bit, though...
Inverted torture rack sounds about right.
I'm gonna go with that. A little bit after this, however, Orion is able to wiggle his way out of the hold and hit Law with an arm drag. Boots him in the stomach then running, just kicks right through his fucking head to knock him to the floor. Law then gets up onto his knees, wanders to the corner, and tries to recover. He's like, "Time out!" And then Orion is just on him, just beating his ass in the corner.
"Time out, wait, stop, no, ah!"
Just pulls his legs out from underneath him, walks across the ring, hits him with two massive running double knees to the face. Like, Orion was taking none of Law's shit in this match.
Yeah, he just went in on him.
So Orion then ascends the top rope, only for Law to just knock him off with a swift right elbow to the face. Orion then fights back onto the apron and hits a slingshot bulldog through the ropes, which fucking had me... I was dope. Like, "Oh, shit."
It was dope looking.
Very dope looking. These two are exhausted at this point, and this is where Mikey probably had a very good time, because they get to their feet, and they start to go back and forth, but they exchange kicks. Not forearms, not chops, kicks.
Yes, they exchanged kicks, and it was a very nice exchange of kicks, and I was into it.
I was happy, and then they follow this up with, of course, just chopping each other in the chest.
Which, again, brutal.
Brutal, ground meat, we love it here.
These two, like, every single chop they threw was like a fucking...
I don't know what they were like, but
chop.
They were like,
what
all
were
right.
They?
Well,
Jesus.
Like, it was like Law was like, "I'm gonna hit you as hard as I can," and Orion's like, "Okay, if I can do the same."
Homies were just, like, chopping the crap out of each other, like, an hour before the match.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, just like test dummies, like
just to really make sure they get that good sound.
Mm-hmm. These two go back and forth, and then just as they come to the end of this, the commentator has finally made Snow snap, and he's like, "You know what, Richie? I'm gonna shut your mouth right now." And then Richie's like, "Wait, what you doing?" And Snow just slides into the ring and beats the shit out of Orion just as he gets the upper hand.
Leading to a DQ finish.
Law then Snow then beat the shit out of him, hit each of their finishers on him. Snow leaves, and I like how commentary put this note here. They're like, "Just like Snow said, Orion may have won the match, but he didn't really win it. He just survived it." And I was like, "Damn, that's poignant." What'd you think of this match, Mikey? I talked a lot.
I really liked it. I was into it. I wish there was an actual finish.
I would. I was too. I had the same. I was like this. I was like, "Aww."
Yeah, it was a bummer. Like, I wish there was an actual finish, but hey, what can you do? You know, like, it's fine.
They're clearly building a feud here, so.
Yeah, they're clearly building the Marty Snow Orion, the Cosmo Orion feud here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really liked it. I really liked it. The chop sounded great. There was a lot of great lucha shit. Orion looked awesome. Johnny Law looked awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, they both got their shit in. They both, like, showed off what they're really good at. And, like I said with the Matt Mikowski-Matthew Justice match, when two good wrestlers get the shit in that they're good at, makes for a good match, you know?
Recipe for success.
Exactly. So, I was into it. I liked it a lot. And I give it a high meh.
I'm also going to give it a high meh.
Yeah.
Like, for me, the thing that tells me that this match is good was I didn't mind the DQ as much because I was like, damn, I thought them bickering or commentary was just them being just filling time, but it actually built to the finish.
Yeah, right?
He just got under Snow's skin, and I just like to imagine the commentator was like surprised Pikachu face when the heel gets up all mad that he's been talking shit about him and does something.
Like you said, I like how it didn't, it wasn't just like, it didn't just lead to nothing, it led to actual, like, the finish of the match, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was into this one. I was more into this one than I thought I was gonna be. When I opened this match and saw, like, the camera quality and, like, there was, like, no microphones and, like, the two lights at the announcer's table were just, like...
Yeah.
Like, it's lights they found in the bargain bin at mm-hmm. whatever equipment shop they went to, you know?
Yep. Uh-huh.
I was like, damn, this might not be as good as I was expecting, but you know what? It surprised me.
For 46 views, this is a bargain of a match.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely go check it out. Definitely underwatched, for sure. I think Cosmo Orion and Johnny Law really put on a good one, and I think it's worth watching.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's all of our matches out of the way this week, so that just leaves us with the Double Down.
The Double Down.
This is a segment of the show where me and Zach flashback to last week and watch matches from each other's perspectives. Zach, what match did I give you to watch?
You gave me Jessica Troy versus Charlie Evans at Pro Wrestling Australia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What'd I give you?
You gave me Vanity versus The Woad from Mission Pro Wrestling on the Title Match Network.
Yeah.
Who started off on the Double Down last week?
I did.
So I will kick us off this week with Vanity versus The Woad from Mission Pro Wrestling. This match was pretty... This match was solid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna lie, I thought I was gonna like it way more than I actually liked it.
Ah, okay.
Because I was... Like, when you were describing the match last week, I was like, okay, this sounds like a decent match with some comedy in it, you know? Like, doing, like, the some funny stuff here and there.
Yeah, the funny.
And I'm like, yeah, that, you know, that's my kind of stuff. But I don't know. This match didn't, like, it was good. The wrestling was decent, but, like, I don't know. It didn't, like, hook me, you know?
Hmm, okay.
There was a few parts where I found myself, like, rewinding to watch a spot again because I found myself, like, zoning out, you know?
I wonder, like, what it was.
I don't know. Like, the test of strength in the beginning was solid. Like, the two trying to, like Vanity being like, all right, you got a strong butt. How about test your arm strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do the test of strength. Woad wins again.
Vanity could not get a... She could not catch a fucking break in that match. That's all I remember about that.
I literally, one of my notes here, you took it right out of my mouth, is Vanity can't catch a break.
Oh, man.
It was pretty funny. I like the sequence in the beginning where they go to where they keep trying to pin each other. That was mm-hmm. that was neat. Like you said, Vanity can't catch a break because there was the one point where she was going for the shoulder blocks and she kept bouncing off Woad.
Yeah.
She kept bouncing off her and she's like, "Fine, you do it then to me." And Woad's like, "All right." Does it and just immediately takes Vanity off her feet. Woad starts wearing Vanity down for a little while, then the fight heads to the outside. They kind of just, like, mess around out there a little bit, you know, throw each other into the apron and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And they make their way back in. Woad tries to whip Vanity into the corner, from, like, the corner, but Vanity says, "Nah, nah, nah," and, like, holds her there.
Yeah.
Which lets Vanity, because she ends up hitting, like, a clothesline off of that, which gives Vanity some momentum, finally. To start wearing down Woad. And she gets her, like, a submission hold for a little while, and then let's go. And she flips her over, and she says, "All right, this is the thing everyone's talking about. This is it. This is what everyone wants to see, right?" and she smacks Woad's ass. And then for a second, there's silence. And then you just hear Vanity go, ah! and just hold her hand. Because she just hurt her hand trying to slap Woad's butt. And she does it again, hurts her hand more.
The fucking ref. Are you okay?
No!
Yeah. She hurts her hand twice. This lets Woad get to her feet. She throws Vanity into the corner, grabs her by the legs, and hits a buckle bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Then she hits a standing Vader bomb, goes for the pin. Vanity kicks out. Then Woad is able to land. After that power bomb, she goes to get to the top rope. And while she's on the top rope, Vanity, kicks her legs out.
Yeah.
And Woad is, on the second, ends up on the second rope, legs spread and, just, sitting on the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vanity goes to kick Woad, but she kicks Woad in the butt and hurts her foot.
Oh, yeah.
because what I have failed to mention yet is that Woad, if you didn't hear last week, stands for the Weapon of Ass Destruction.
Yep. That fucking name.
Vanity hurting her foot lets Woad get the upper hand because she's able to hit a rear view.
Mm-hmm.
Hits a rear view, takes Vanity, knocks Vanity out of her senses, and then is able to hit a power bomb.
I think I said it was just a slam.
Yeah, it was an attempted power bomb, but kind of just ended up being a weird looking slam, and then Woad just folds Vanity in half and gets the pin.
Yep.
Completely out of nowhere, not ready for that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The finish kind of took me off guard, considering the move didn't look that violent that she did to her, you know?
Yep. Uh-huh, I remember having a similar feeling about that, being that was...
That was it?
That was out of nowhere? Okay.
Out of this, this whole match was decent, that's what ended it? I don't know, man.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, it was quite unfortunate. I don't know. I'll give this one a meh. It was, fine. Everything leading up was good, and then the finish just completely knocked the wind out of me.
That's a finish that'll make or break something sometimes.
Yeah, that it was good, and then that finish just completely drained me. And I'm just gonna give it a meh. It was decent. Wrestling was solid, and then a wonky finish kind of made me sad. But I would love to see DC wrestle again, because what I did see from them throughout the whole match was solid. I really liked how they both played up their characters a lot, and they were both very vocal, which led to the match being a little more believable. Yes. I really like when two wrestlers are vocal in the ring and they yell at each other. I think that builds up the match more.
My favorite shit-talking things.
It builds up the match so much. You do so little, but you add so much to the match, mm-hmm. You know?
I think the first time I realized how much I liked it was when I heard Kevin Owens for the first time, and I was like, this man just talks shit to your face in the ring.
My God, I love Kevin Owens.
And he doesn't give a fuck what you think. I love this man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, it's always solid to hear a little bit of trash talk, you know?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Zach, what match, so I gave, like you said, I gave you Charlie Evans taking on Jessica Troy.
Yes.
In a no DQ match. What did you think about that one?
I have two words for this match. Fucking awesome.
Hell yeah, it was.
This was a fantastic no DQ / death match.
In the words of Charlie Evans herself, quoting our tweet, a barn burner.
Yes, it fucking was. I fucking love this match. Now, I'm not going to go super into all the spots because Mikey did a great job going through them last week, but I will talk about some of the ones that I liked that I think do a pretty good job describing this match's main points. First up, that really caught my attention was it was early on in the match when Troy was getting her leg worked over, right? And she drop toe hold Charlie face first into a chair, and then as Charlie unfolded the chair in the corner, she, despite how hurt her knee was, ran in, double kneed Charlie in the back of the head into the chair, went out of the apron, kicked her in the face, and then meteored her through a sitting chair off the top rope, despite the fact that her legs were fucked up, or her leg was fucked up by Evans.
Yeah.
The reason I'm pointing this
out
is
these two did not pull any punches this match.
Exactly, and that's why, is that Troy literally use her absolute just hatred for her former best friend to power through the pain inflicted on her left leg just to hurt her more than she needed to.
Indeed.
Like, she could have dropped Toholder and done. She could have been like, all right, I'll recover. Instead, she's like, fuck that. I'm gonna fuck you up. And I loved it. There was the next thing that I thought put out that I thought of talking about here was when Charlie, now in control, set up a chair and like stuck Troy's whole upper body between the seat and the upper part of it, and then just obliterated her with a running like drop kick through the face. Fucking brutal. And then she set up a 2-level dam of chairs, and then Troy ended up superplexing Charlie through her own creation. Love that.
Yep, it was
dope. Did a really good job of showing. It's a good example of how not only brutal, but it just shows how creative these two are willing to get with the weapons that they use, and I really like that. Because in a lot of matches like chairs and tables, it's really easy to get, like, do a lot of the similar spots other people do. But when you get it creative like that, that's the shit that gets me fucking pumped. Last sequence, though, Mike, I'm going to talk about, of course, the finishing sequence, which
yes,
I have to. So Troy got, after Troy dropped a bag full of thumbtacks on the floor, she got backdropped by Charlie into it.
Mm-hmm.
She kicks out of it, gets up, gets super kicked by Charlie, flips her up and says, fuck you, and then basically brainbuster or suplex? I don't know which one it was. They said suplex, look at brainbuster, whatever. Charlie onto said tacks.
Yep.
And then after she kicks out, Troy jams the skewers in Charlie's head, then Charlie laughs and flips her off, so Troy grabs her middle finger, fucking basically almost breaks the damn thing, puts the finger into the fucking tacks, stomps on the finger, puts a Fujiwara in, then grabs a mannequin with barbed wire and yanks it back, despite the fact that Evans is biting the ropes not to verbally submit, and she taps out.
That match, fucking
awesome.
What a match. What a fucking match this was.
I loved how it fit the tone of the match really fucking well. It was a good payoff because Troy, all fucking match, I didn't talk about it, but Mikey did, was just working that fucking left arm that she used to submit Charlie with. And just, God, these two did such a good job with this match, with their character work and their selling. Like, they did a good job portraying two friends who clearly know each other, then grew apart, came back, and then fucking just hate each other. Like,
mm-hmm.
Troy pulled out the picture and, like, choked Charlie with the picture. Charlie was like a fucking, what's the word here? She had, like, the eyes of a killer. Like, there were moments where Troy was screaming in pain, and Charlie just looked at her as like, I don't fucking care. I'm gonna fucking beat you right now.
Yeah.
And I loved it, because it just showed, just, it just gave the match a really good vibe to it. And it made the story, like, believable, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
And on top of this, the fucking selling was great. Troy in particular did a really good job. Like, she had her left leg worked over this whole match, and she basically never stopped selling this. She had to move somewhere, she hobbled there. She had to do a sequence, she fucking hobbled, her leg got hit, she held on the leg. I was just like, that's...
Whenever she used the knee, she would hold it afterwards.
Yep, I fucking... That's the shit where I'm like, that's where you know that this shit is good.
Good story. This match was awesome.
The
awesome spots.
Things. Combined with
awesome
the
spots, great storytelling.
Exactly. Yeah. Just, God, I love this match. Mark out. Don't even need to fucking think about it. Easy fucking mark out.
Charlie Evans, man. One thing I regret about being a fan of Charlie Evans is not being a fan sooner. Holy moly.
Ah, dude,
Evans, what a fucking wrestler.
Like, goddamn.
Jessica Troy, too.
Yeah, I know, dude. Women in fucking Australia and independent wrestling don't fuck about.
I gotta get into some Aussie wrestling. Holy moly.
Like,
Australia does not fuck around when it comes to wrestling.
They do not. Up until this point, my only two Australian wrestlers were Rhea Ripley and Toni Storm. So
the list shall expand.
Yeah.
Excuse you. Putting disrespect on the Iconics like that?
Oh, how could I forget? Oh,
disrespect. I'm sorry. The Inspiration like that?
I cannot fucking wait for the show. Impact.
You're putting disrespect on the Inspiration like that?
I could never. I'm sorry. I will never make the mistake again. Oh man. Oh, I can't fucking wait to see what they do in Impact. I'm really excited for that.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be awesome. When they debut soon, right?
Yeah, I don't know the exact date off the top of
my head.
They
debut at whatever the next pay-per-view is for Impact. I think was their
Is it Bound for Glory?
I think it's Bound for Glory. I don't know, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's Bound for Glory.
I think they said that's when their first match is going
to
be.
I believe you are correct. And God, I can't wait to see the two of them fly with their wings not cut by a certain old man in a mainstream company that didn't fucking use them at all and then broke them up and then was surprised when nothing happened with them.
A certain old man who likes beef wraps and...
Beef wraps, working out at 5 in the morning.
A certain old man who doesn't know the word for burrito, so he calls them beef wraps.
I will say, he does many
and likes,
that annoy me.
That likes
makes
the...
me laugh, though.
And he likes them really big.
Oh. Yeah, no, I've said my piece. That match slapped. It was a bona fide barn burner. Watch that fucking match. You won't be disappointed.
No. All right. Yeah, so that wraps up this episode, I think. There's that.
Yeah, it's a good episode this week.
Yeah, we had some solid matchups. I'm so glad you got to experience a Charlie Evans match. As soon as I watched it, I was like, Zach needs to watch this.
I'm so happy that you gave me it to watch, because when you gave it to me, I was like, oh, this is going to be a good fucking day.
This is not going to be the last of either of those two women on this show, I can tell you that much for a fact.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, two more things. One, the plugs, which we'll get to later. And two, which we'll get to right now, a preview of next week's matches.
Yep.
Zach, what matches are you bringing to the table next week, my friend?
Alrighty then. I'm bringing Marius Al-Ani versus Mike DiVecchio, I believe it is, at GFW's Welcome Back.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm bringing Savannah Evans versus Davian versus Holly Dead versus Ruthless Lala at BCW's Queen of the North 2.
Holy moly.
Yeah, no, I saw that match and I was like, I'm in. I only want a Davian match and I saw Holly Dead and then the other two, I've never heard the other two, so I'm like, it's got to be good though.
Fair. Well, I am bringing to the table next week, I am bringing Megan Bain versus Masha Slamovich from Beyond Wrestling.
Old Reliable plus Masha Slamovich.
Old Reliable, baby. And from a new promotion on this show, I believe, from Loco Wrestling, we got Low-Key taking on Ninja Mac.
There better be an exorbitant amount of high-flying moves, and your notes better be too
lucha
big.
Shit. Lucha shit! Lucha shit! Lucha shit!
Fucking lucha shit. Anything you can do, I can do better and more flashier.
Sorry, sorry. It's lucha, 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 lucha. very excited for that. Very excited for next week. And of course, we have our surprise match next week, which you can go find out over on our Twitter, which we'll get to the plugs. Or you can listen to the episode next week and you can find out what that match is.
Yeah.
So now, we are on to the plugs. And I'll give you a break this week, Zach. I'll take care of him.
I was sitting here, I'm like, I'm fucking ready.
I'll take care of him. I'll do it this week. So, remember to go follow us on Twitter if you want to see what match we are bringing to the table next week. Go follow us over on Twitter at CountUpPod, where we tweet about wrestling and the world in general and about all of our shows and basically any updates that the podcast network could ever have. Go check it out over on Twitter. Or if you just want to talk to us and hang out with us, Twitter is the best place to do so. We're very responsive over there. We have two people running the Twitter, so you'll get one of us. go check us out over on YouTube as well, Count Out Wrestling Podcast Network, where we have replays of our live-streamed podcast, Happy Hour, replays of that up there, as well as replays of Ring Post Radio over there on our YouTube channel. You can go check those out live when they do, because we record both of those podcasts live, which you can go check out at twitch.tv/countout. If you want to go follow that and subscribe over there as well, that would be dope. We would love to have you over there. We have a bunch of fun content going on the Twitch. We would love to see some more friends in chat. So come hang out with us over there, over on twitch.tv/countout. Happy Hour records every Thursday at 8:30. And Ring Post Radio records every Saturday morning, I believe starting at 9 or 10. So go check those out over there and go check out our website, countoutpod.com, where we have all sorts of fun stuff over there. We have all of our articles there. You can become a member over there for $5 a month. And if you become a member of the Countout Network, you can get a bunch of fun, exclusive free audios that we at the Countout Network recorded for you that are only for members only for people who pay $5 a month get those special episodes and those special audios, which you absolutely do not want to miss out on, because it is some of the silliest content we've ever recorded ever, and we are in love with every single thing we've recorded in there. So go subscribe $5 a month to the Countout Network, and you know, help us out a little bit. We really appreciate you being here, and a lot of work goes into this. A lot of work goes into podcasting, and a lot of kishish. So it'd be great if you could help us out a little bit, become a member. We would really, really, really appreciate it. And like I said, you get those cool audios, so hey, it's worth it. And you can go check out countoutpod.com/store if you want to rep the Countout Network. You can get your very own t-shirt of the Countout Network, and we have a ton of more merch over there, such as stickers. The girls that had a talking friend about wrestling have a shirt up there. So go check out countoutpod.com/store where you can get a whole ton of fun merch. And go check out our Facebook page, countoutpod.com. Go check out our Facebook page. Go check out our Facebook page, Count Out a Wrestling Podcast Network, where we just started posting some updates over there. We're kind of new to Facebook, so we're not really used to it yet, but we're getting the hang of it. So go give us a go check us out over there as well. Is there anything I'm missing? I don't think so. Go check out all the other fun shows here on the Countout Network, such as Your Dose of Death, Have Talked to Your Friend About Wrestling, and Ring Post Radio and Happy Hour. A lot of cool stuff happened on the network. Me and Zach over here at Indie Waters aren't your cup of tea, we have plenty of other podcasts that might be. So stick around and hang out, and you know, stay subscribed. We appreciate you being here.
Facts.
Zach, any personal plugs?
No.
Me neither. So that just leaves me with one thing left to say, and that is to remember that there's a gigantic sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop exploring.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.